I'll be glad to see the back of 2020. That's a cry I've heard so many times in the last couple of months. It's been a desperately hard year for so many. Financial hardship, isolation, the inability to see family and friends, relationship difficulties, poor mental health, and for some, bereavement. Throughout the world, governments have struggled to contain the pandemic. National debts have gone up and up. But now, here we are approaching Christmas. And for some of us, this Christmas simply adds to the sense of loss and isolation. We've all been affected by the increased restrictions brought about by Tier 4. Some of us, though, will try and make the best of it. We will celebrate within our households. We will have a big meal. We'll open presents for a few moments, we'll try and forget all the misery caused by this coronavirus. But Christmas is not about wrapping up a troubling year with simple human pleasures. No, Christmas is about joy and hope piercing through the darkness and pain of our human existence, fully and forever. There may not have been a pandemic when Jesus was born that first Christmas, but there was grinding poverty and an oppressive totalitarian state. The Emperor Augustus's worldwide census was all about raising more money from taxes from his conquered territories. And his Jewish puppet king, Herod the Great, was no better. He killed off his own sons because he saw them as a political threat, and he thought nothing of doing the same to the baby boys in Bethlehem. Life for the vast majority of people in Jesus' day was much harder and more precarious than it is for us today. And into that world, which is also our world, Jesus is born. And what I want to spend a few moments thinking about this year is the contrast between the glory of the announcement to the shepherds and the abject humility of Jesus' birth. So first, the glory of the announcement. Now imagine the scene. There are these shepherds minding their own business, protecting their flocks from nocturnal predators, when suddenly a messenger from God appears to them. Because that's what angels are. They are just divine messengers. In Bible history, they are rare. They come only at key points. But here is this divine messenger among the shepherds. And we're told that the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. Well, you would be. This wasn't an everyday occurrence. And the angel says to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Here is God making a great announcement to the world. Can I say that if you think of Christianity as something which is rather dull and unimportant, then you can't have understood it. Because here is good news of great joy. Likewise, if you think of Christianity as okay, but it's not really your thing, well, then again, you can't have understood it, because here is good news of great joy for all people. And what is this good news of great joy for all people? It is that in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. For hundreds of years, through the prophets, God had told his ancient people that he would one day send them a king who would reign in justice and truth. He would right all wrongs, remove all evil, and bring lasting peace to God's world. And now that king has been born. And then suddenly that single angelic messenger is joined by numerous others, and they praise God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and of peace to people on whom his favor rests." Now, this is a unique event in Bible history. Nowhere else do we get such a visitation of angelic beings. Nowhere else do we find heaven invading earth, declaring the praises of God. It is utterly wonderful and glorious. And that is why it's so good and right for us every Christmas to hear these wonderful accounts retold, and along with the angels, sing God's praises. But in my retelling of this glorious announcement to the shepherds, I've left out something important. And I wonder whether you spotted it. I left out the sign. The angel said to the shepherds, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." In fact, three times in short succession in his account, Luke mentions the manger. It was clearly very important to him. But what is the significance of the manger? Well, for a start, we need to get out of our mind's eye the Christmas card image of the manger. You know what I mean, the lovely, neat, clean pine manger, taking pride of place in a cozy stable filled with fresh straw, just the perfect size for the baby Jesus. No. The manger is nothing other than an animal feed trough. The account of Jesus' birth is sparsely told by Luke, but the one thing he wants to draw our attention to is the utter poverty, scandal, and humility of Jesus' birth. I have to say that I'm glad that in our culture it's no longer kind of scandalous for a child to be born out of marriage. But that wasn't the case for Mary. And here is Mary, not married, heavily pregnant. And then with her husband-to-be, Joseph, she has to make the 90-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They were very poor, so they most probably traveled on foot. Certainly there's no mention of any donkey. And so poor are they, and so wretched is their situation, that when they get to Bethlehem, they have to camp with the animals. Even when Mary goes into labor, nobody gives them a room. And so she gives birth to her son in a cave, or some shack, or possibly just out in the open air. And the only thing available for the baby to be placed in is an animal feed trough. When God steps in on the human stage, he steps in at the lowest point on earth. An infant, unwelcomed by everyone except his mother, is relegated to living among the animals. "And this shall be a sign to you. You will find the baby lying in an animal's feeding trough." Do you see how strange the contrast is? The dazzling divine glory of the announcement compared to the abject poverty and scandal of the birth of this Christ child. But this is the way God works. Although God has all power, God doesn't play our power games. And Mary understood this. Listen again to what she says in her song. The words are on the screen. "His mercy extend to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Christmas is about God scattering the proud. And it's about God lifting up the humble. It's about God turning things upside down, which is in reality the right way up. And God does this not from on high with the power of Augustus or the brutality of Herod. No, God achieves his purposes from below, through the faithful humility of a teenage mother. And he ensures that the first witness to this cosmic, cataclysmic event are lowly shepherds. Everything about that first Christmas, everything about Jesus says that God will reverse the mess and the misery and the evil of our world by first getting his hands dirty. God will conquer by humbling himself. He will mend the wounds of this world by first being wounded. He will save by sacrificing himself, which is what happened as 33 years later Jesus died on the cross. 2020 has been a hard year. And hopefully 2021 will eventually see the end of this pandemic. But there's no getting away from it. There will still be much pain and sadness and sickness and evil and suffering and death to contend with. We need a more lasting joy and a more substantial hope than anything that this world can provide. Certainly more than a vaccine. And God has given that hope to us in Jesus. As Mary says, God's mercy extend to those that fear him from generation to generation. Whoever we are, whatever we have done, however dire our situation, God offers us a lasting hope and his eternal love through Jesus. The scandal and weakness and grinding poverty of that first Christmas shows us that no mess is too messy for God. And no misery is so great that God can't bring hope in the face of it. But if we act as if we are self-sufficient, if we ignore God's gracious gift of Jesus and instead rely on our own resources, our own wisdom, well, then we're heading for eternal disaster, because God scatters those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. And although he fills the hungry with good things, he sends the rich away empty. Let me lead us in a prayer. Our gracious God and Father, thank you that through Jesus, in the face of misery, sin, and death, you have provided us with a source of lasting joy and hope. Help each one of us to see the wonder of your gift, that we with the angels may rejoice in your kindness and generosity to us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.